welcome. We're excited to see you. If you would, let's stand up and say hi to someone real quick. Just say hello. We're excited to worship with you this morning. Let's give honor to the one who is due. Amen.
Standing. thrown away because of you, oh Jesus. See the cross, the empty grave. The evidence is endless. All my sins thrown away because of you, oh Jesus. And I see the evidence of your goodness all over.
Well, before us this morning, we have the table of the Lord, represented the blood of Jesus and the body of Jesus given for us. As we say that Christ has died, amen. Christ has risen, amen. And Christ is coming again. And we proclaim him until he comes. We partake of the Lord's Supper in remembrance of him until he comes again. For what this table represents needs to consistently be on the forefront of our mind. Because as the song we were just singing says, there is nothing, absolutely nothing, that can wash away our sins but the blood of Jesus. There's nothing that we can do to earn it. There's nothing we can do to build brownie points with God about it. There's no hoops we have to jump through to get there. But the grace that saves, that cleanses us of our sins. Amen. Now, you don't have to this morning, but if you'd like to partake of communion with us today, we ask you to just kind of make your way in the aisles and pick up the elements and take them back to your seat. We'll partake together this morning in just a few moments. So come if you wish to the table of the Lord. I believe the Lord will meet you here today. I believe that these kind of moments are actually sacred. The Apostle Paul would encourage us not to do this in an unworthy manner. We don't just do this because, well, we're a church, this is what the church does, but we believe. And we believe that God meets us in these moments. And whenever we partake of communion, the thing that the Lord Jesus himself told us to continue to do. This is literally the high point of our worship today. This is as much worship as singing a song. Just something about these kind of things that we approach with reverence for what he has done. And my encouragement to you is before we partake together, that you examine yourself, as the Apostle Paul would say. Is there anything in between you and God, sin that's hanging around? Ways of life that you haven't committed to him? I'm going to give you a moment before you partake to do something about it. And the wonderful thing, again, it's not anything you earn, not anything you can get by your works, but asking for forgiveness and allowing that forgiveness, that grace to envelop your life and in that place of repentance, that today we will turn from those things and begin to live a life more fully of the worthiness of the calling for which we have been called. If not just for a minute, I just want you, with the help of the Holy Spirit, to examine your heart. Oh, Jesus. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on us. Forgive us our sins. Forgive us our sins. For the work of the cross is as effective today as it was 2,000 years ago. It is still in effect. It is still wonderful. It's still good. It's still saving. It's still amazing. It is still freeing. It's through that in which we conquer and overcome all things. For the enemy has been defeated at the cross. The power of sin has been broken. Amen. We can live in that freedom. Oh, Jesus. This bread this morning represents your body. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, for dying on a cross in our place. The penalty of sin, ultimately, that wage is death, both spiritually and physically. But you willingly went to that cross. You yourself without sin. But on that cross, you took the sins of the world, the past, the present, and the future into your body. And became the sacrifice that frees us. You paid that wage of sin, which is death, for us in our place. And we thank you that God, you became flesh to ultimately die for us. My goodness, such love. And with all of our beings, for every part of who we are, we thank you. We partake of this bread together in remembrance of that. Let us partake together. sacrifice. Was to give blood. That blood representative of life. The scriptures say there is no remission of sins where there is no shedding of blood. So Jesus comes. And he fulfills all of the law, all of the sacrifice, all of the things that God had asked of those that had come before Jesus. And he brings it all into himself. And he binds it up. That he is the perfect sacrifice that sheds his blood for us. For what washes away our sins? Nothing. Nothing, nothing but the blood of Jesus. So we thank you, Jesus. That is in your forgiveness through the shedding of your blood in which we stand. And find freedom. Thank you, Lord. And we partake of this cup together in remembrance of the shedding of your blood. Let us partake together. How about this? If you would, just for a moment, I know they're going to sing one more song with us this morning, but how about you, and just, again, a personal time, I want you to thank him and worship him from your heart for what he has done and what this table represents to us, okay? Let's do that. So we praise you, Jesus, and we worship you. We give all of ourselves to you, every part of who we are. For there is none like you. Nowhere will we find this kind of love. Nowhere will we find this kind of grace or patience or mercy or power. For there is no other God. There's none before you. But yet you came and you died to save each one of us. Thank you. And Lord, the only thing we can do is just give ourselves back to you. You are the creator. We were lost. Now you bring us back. And we wholly put ourselves into you. The life that we live, the who we are, our reputation. We give it to you. And every time we raise our hands, every time we bow down, every time we clap our hands, every time we raise our voice in worship and sing, it's the evidence of God who loves that we are faithfully serving. Oh, Jesus. So good. So good. Lord, I'd be so lost without you. So lost. Thank you for calling me home. Thank you for giving me new life. Thank you for changing me. Opening my eyes to see and my ears to hear. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for residing in me, temple of the Holy Spirit. Thank you. Isn't he good? I think some of y'all need to find some more rest in him. Find rest in him. Oh, wonderful. His presence is here with us today, I believe. Not distant, he's not far from us, but he is near, at hand.
Yes, our testimony is the living proof. And if you doubt the evidence that He is able, open your eyes, people, get ready. Just build an altar, drench it in water, stand back and wonder. He'll start a fire, nothing can stop Him. There's no one like Him. He holds all power. This is our God. He makes a mountain move with just a whisper. He calls the dead to walk out of a grave. Let the ones that He redeemed lift up a banner. Now is the time, people, get ready. Just build an altar, drench it.
Greet some of your family of faith this morning.
Morning, everybody. Tell your neighbor you're so happy they came to church today. Let them know. Go ahead and tell them. Live streamers, it's good to have you wherever you're watching from. I think we're on YouTube and Facebook Live right now. Good to have you. You couldn't make it today, but if you're able to make it, come to church. Live stream's a good thing when you can't make it, but you can't replace gathering together in the house together, right? Can't make that up online. But if you can't make it, I'm glad we can be with you on live stream. But if you can be here, hope to see you with us next Sunday morning in person in the house. All right, tithe and offering. If you have something to give, please prep it. Offering envelopes in the chairs in front of you. If there's not one, wave your hand around. The ushers are also coming around with prayer cards. Don't forget, every Monday night from 6 to 7, we have church-wide prayer. So tomorrow night, they'll be praying over these prayer cards at some point during that night. So if you have a prayer need, please ask for one. You don't have to put your name on it if you don't want to, but you can fill it out, give it back to the ushers, or get it to me after church. And we'd love to join in faith with you over your prayer needs. How many believe God hears our prayers? Amen. So as you're filling out your giving and getting that prepped, we appreciate it. And God is our provider. And because God is our provider, then we show honor to him in our giving. And how many know that greed is an awful thing? It'll eat you from the inside out. Greed changes your perspective about everything. One of the reasons, and it's one of a handful of different reasons, but one of the reasons the scriptures teach us to give to the house is because it fights against greed in your life. So when increase comes to your life, if the first thing you do is set aside your giving, you're basically telling greed you have no place. And greed, by the way, one of the things it does is it causes you to worry about never having enough. You know that? If God is your provider, don't worry.
Amen.
Did he make all things?
Yes.
Everything that comes into our life, even the form of our economy today, is because he started it in the first place. He made this world in such a way that what comes into our life started with creation. And if he, notice he didn't make man, then create something around him. He made creation, then put man into what he made because the provision for man to live was in what he made.
Amen.
That never stopped. It's still happening. And everything you see, I say this consistently, but everything you see out there, the trees and the grass and all this different stuff, that is a continuation of the first miracle of creation. It's proof positive that God still provides.
Amen.
We're coming into harvest time, right? The beans are being pulled off the fields, at least locally. Corn's coming down, maybe a little early this year. It's been so dry. But it still grew. It's going to grow next year. Because God made things to provide. Don't worry. You know he's got you. You know that? Yeah. Okay. So as you give today, we do so in faith. I'm going to have Ryan. This is the boy. We'll come down here. This is his test. If you don't pass this test, you're out.
Fair enough.
I'm kidding. It's this young man. He's actually studying to be in ministry. So he's already graduated. He's waiting for her to do whatever she's doing so they can get on with life. But I'm going to have him pray over the offering today.
Yeah, Father, we just thank you that you are a God who provides in our basic needs. God, that even if you care for the birds in the air, how much more do you care for us? How much more you feed us and clothe us? God, we thank you that giving is not just out of obligation or just because we're told we're supposed to, but just out of the abundance of our hearts, over the overflow of love that we have for you and that we have received from you. So God, we just pray one thing today. We just pray you bless this offering, that everything that is given today would just be used into your glory, to your kingdom, God. I pray you bless every single person in this room today. Bless them with their needs, no matter how big or small with them, God. We trust you and we submit ourselves to you. Jesus, we thank you and we love you. Say this all in your name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Ryan. If you have something today, you can bring it down and be blessed as you do. While they're doing that, if you want to get your Bible out, go ahead. We're going to spend some time in the Word today, as we always do. But I'm looking forward to our time in the Scriptures today, so you can get your Bibles out. And while you do that, a couple of announcements. If you're a guest with us today, these Connect cards on the back of your chairs, grab one, fill it out, give it to Miss Kelly or myself right after church today. There's also blue foldovers, little information about the church. If you want to know more about us, it's in there. Obviously, small groups are happening, so if you're not connected to a small group, we do break in December and January, but we have two more months of small groups before that break. So if you're not connected to a small groups are important to us. Please ask for information, and we'll get you connected to one. And all the groups and when they meet and all that stuff, there's a poster on the backboard back there. You can go check it out. Next steps, right after church today. So if you're interested of making this your permanent home, family of faith, next steps is for you. Tells you information about the church, but also tells you more about small groups, dream teams, and that kind of stuff. So if you want to take the next step of jumping into our church in a more kind of membership kind of way, next steps for you. That's right after church today. The Christmas shoeboxes, if you have questions about those, see Patsy and Bill. But don't forget, deadline for those is November the 17th. And, of course, as I told you, my wife is in Nashville hanging out with our grandbaby. She's having a great time. She's coming back today, so prayers for her travels. But there is a women's event the last Friday of October, and starting Wednesday night, she will be giving you all the details about that. So, ladies, be prepped for that. All right. Bible time. Amen. Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 13. Proverbs 15, 13. Today and next Sunday, I want to do just a two-week kind of series that has been on my heart, and it was just not long ago that the Lord dropped it into my heart. So generally, I have 6 months of messages planned out, topic-wise. And when I planned out the end of this year, October just kind of was empty. So I know what I'm doing in November, and I know what I'm doing in December, but October I just couldn't find. I had something written down, but it didn't catch my heart right. So I kind of erased it off, and I was sort of waiting, and not long ago the Lord dropped on my heart that today and next Sunday I want to talk to you, or talk to the brokenhearted. Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 13. So we have it up on the screens here. There it is. Okay. Ah, there it is. I was just waiting for that. It says, "A glad heart makes a cheerful face." Everybody smile. But you realize you can just smile and really fake what's in your heart. Now, I think everybody can kind of put on a face when you need to. I mean, I know what I'm talking about. And I think sometimes we do it in church because there's an expectation that if you just have faith, your life is going to be great. So if you have troubles, then there must be something wrong with you or your faith or your belief or your understanding of the Bible. And that's just a bunch of baloney. You hear people tell that stuff to you, just ignore it. You can have a lot of faith, but still go through stuff. Faith doesn't mean things don't happen. Faith means you're sustained when it happens. Amen. That's what we were talking about last week if you were here. The thorn in Paul's flesh, literally, and Paul called it a messenger of Satan, and he said, "I asked the Lord 3 times to take it away, and he didn't." Oh, my goodness. And what Jesus told him, red letter right there, My grace is sufficient for you. I will sustain you. For my power actually shows up in weakness. For where we are weak, then we are what? Strong. But yes, yeah, there are those that do have a glad heart, and their countenance shows it. But yet, on the other side of it, but by sorrow of heart, or the broken heart, the spirit is crushed. See, pastoring for as long as I have, you end up being in close proximity with people who are going through sometimes some rough things in life. And they can find themselves in a place with a broken heart and really, as Proverbs said, they're kind of a crushed spirit. Many kind of different situations, by the way, you know, just some things I was thinking about. I've been connected to people that have been abused physically, sexually, emotionally. I've been very in close proximity with people that have lost loved ones, sometimes very tragically. In my pastoring years, I've done funerals for two infants, several funerals for teenagers, tragically, car accidents and things of that nature. Tragedies of life that, well, happen because we're in an imperfect world. I've been close to people that have found themselves in financial ruin, betrayal in relationships, falling out of friendships, marriages that have come apart, betrayal, infidelity. You see, people go through things, and you can find yourself with a broken heart, a feeling of your spirit being crushed because of circumstances of life. It is real. It is there. And the worst thing that we can do is try to deny it. Denial of issues is a problem in and of itself. It's kind of like putting on the happy face or a little bit of the mask, even though your heart is broken, in order to put up airs with other people that see you. And that can be a problem in the church. See, a broken heart, a crushed spirit, can at times feel like it cannot be repaired. And in that, people simply lose hope. By the way, these kind of things are all the more evidence of the messed up and imperfect world that we live in. It's kind of like, the other day I cut my finger. Ow. It hurt. It's one of those little paper cuts. There's like the worst things in the world. You know what I'm talking about? I mean, I hate paper cuts. And you always get them at the wrong spot. Right there, you can still see it's a little red. And it bled like a stuck pig. And cuts just, it's not even more than a couple centimeters. I'm bleeding and bleeding. That pain, I didn't see it happen, but I felt it. And that pain let me know there was something wrong. You know what I'm talking about. Your body's built when something happens to you. Oh, I just hurt myself. I better pay attention to it. Right? The broken heart is just another evidence that our world is not perfect. Things happen. And not that we then stay within that, but yet how can we come to a place of growth and healing? But I've come to say that not to bring you down, but I've come to say that to give you some good news. Isaiah chapter 61, the great prophet, if we will turn there in verse 1. Isaiah chapter 61, and in my personal devotional reading last month, I was actually going through the book of Isaiah. I love the book of Isaiah. One of my favorite passages of scripture in all of the Bible is Isaiah chapter 9. By Isaiah 61 and verse number 1. And here's a prophecy about Jesus himself that he, in the Gospel of Luke, read from here and proclaimed that this is of him. So Isaiah 61 and verse 1. We'll wait for a second for it to come up on the screen. But if you feel in your life that you are struggling with a broken heart, I really want you to listen to me today and next week, okay? Isaiah 61 and verse 1. There we go. Thank you. It says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, This is talking about Jesus in prophecy about his arrival. Because the Lord has anointed me to bring the good news to the poor. Yes, to those on the outcast, the outskirts of society. Watch what he says here. And he has sent me to bind up the who? The brokenhearted. To proclaim liberty to the captives. And the opening of the prison to those who are bound. To proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Now, what's really interesting is when Jesus read this in the Gospel of Luke, he stopped right there. He didn't say then, and the day of vengeance of our God. He stopped before that. Pretty interesting. And he read that first part, and he sat down. He said, this is fulfilled in your hearing. In other words, Jesus himself, this was his work. And part of the work of Jesus is that he will come to bind up the brokenhearted. That word to bind up, to heal, bring it back together. Yes, you may have a broken heart or experience that, but God. So here is Jesus. This is what he does. And here's the thing. He is the best at it. Amen. Noel, that first screen for me, please. It's just really simple. But it's so strong and so powerful. Jesus has come to heal the brokenhearted. I'll say it again. Jesus has come to heal the brokenhearted. You've been through it. Okay, there's no denial. But Jesus has come to heal what you have been through. See, this is part of the work that he is doing. Salvation. Within that, freedom. And within that, there's healing. I would say this, the inward healing of the brokenhearted is the vastly underproclaimed work of the gospel. I think when we think of salvation, we think of freedom from sin, yes and amen. Freedom from the things that have bound us, yes and amen. We think of physical healing, yes and amen. But the healing of our inward hurts and pains is part of the whole being, part of the whole work of what Jesus is doing. It is part of salvation. You see, we know that there is a promise of a new heaven and a new earth. Amen. Part of the promise of what is to come, we find this in the book of Revelation, that there will be no more tears. Can I admit something to you? I am not a crier. That's just my personality. Nothing wrong with it. I would encourage you to be one. Don't be like me. But I'm not a crier. I don't shed a lot of tears, okay? It really, really, really has to move me for me to shed tears. It's just my nature. But yet I have. I've experienced things in life that have moved me in such a way. But there is a promise of a new heaven and new earth where there will be no more tears, and there's no more tears because of the things that caused those tears will be no more. The things, listen to me, that break our hearts will be no more. The things that come to and we experience that it feels like our spirit is crushed, they will be no more. But as all things of the kingdom as coming in finality, we now see glimpses and workings of those things as we are oriented towards that time. Yes, it's not here in finality yet, but the work of those things has started now. That the binding of the brokenhearted for the things that bring these tears of anguish and hurt and pain to our life, God is working on those things, if you'll let him. It's part of the work of Jesus and what he's doing in this world. See, in the Bible, you find words like this, comfort. You find words like rest, peace, hope, newness, forgiveness, restoration. Those kind of words capture the kind of healing that can take place in our lives as we walk in this imperfect world, awaiting all things to be new. So I want to go to three scriptures in succession here and pull a couple things out. Psalm 147 and verse 1. Psalm 147, near the back of the collection of Psalms. And we go verse 1 through verse 6. Give a second for the screen to get up here. I'm glad you're here today, by the way. Huh? It's good to see you in church. So Psalm 147, verse 1. It says, praise the Lord, for it is good to sing praises to our God. For it is pleasant, and a song of praise is fitting. The Lord builds up Jerusalem. Now watch this. He gathers the outcasts of Israel. Here we go, verse 3. And he heals the brokenhearted, and he binds up their wounds. And this is in his power. He determines the number of the stars, and he gives to them all of their names. Great is the Lord and abundant in power. His understanding is beyond measure. See, the Lord lifts up the humble, but yet he casts the wicked to the ground. Now, if you would, go to Psalm 34, verse 15. But while you're turning there, Psalm 34, verse 15, notice it just simply says, or what we just read, that he literally heals the brokenhearted and he binds up their wounds. So Psalm 34. And verse 15. It says, the eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous. And I love this, and you need to underline this and highlight it, circle it. And his ears toward their cry. The face of the Lord is against all who do evil, to cut off from memory of them who are from the earth. But when the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears. Amen. And he delivers them out of all their troubles. Now watch this. The Lord is near to who? Who is he near to? The brokenhearted. And he saves the crushed in spirit. Okay, so James chapter 5 and verse 13. But while you're turning there, listen to this. I think sometimes those who are brokenhearted, they get looked down on by other people, again, as if they don't have enough faith, or if they would just do this, they wouldn't be brokenhearted anymore, and all this different stuff. And they kind of get looked down on in the church in a very wrong way. The scriptures say, if you have a broken heart, God didn't shame you, but he draws near to you. You see that? When you feel crushed in spirit, God is near to you to bring healing to your life. James chapter 5, verse 13, it just starts off with this. If anyone among you suffering, well, you're just not doing the right thing. That's why you're suffering. We gotta cut this language out of the church. If anyone is suffering, let him pray. Why would you pray? Because the Lord has drawn near to the brokenhearted. that you allow yourself to draw near to the one who is near you. And the work of God in Christ Jesus is to bind up the brokenhearted and to heal those who are crushed in spirit. Can I tell you something? Maybe lift the weight off your shoulders. If you feel brokenhearted, there's nothing wrong with you. No reason to feel shameful. No reason to put on a face to try to keep up airs with the people of the church. It's literally a state of your life because of an experience of your life. Because of just simply this messed up world. My wife's experienced brokenheartedness when her mom died of cancer. We wished to the last moment that God would touch her body, heal her. Amen. But she went on to the greater healing. Amen. Why? Don't know. Wish it was the other way. In those things, we don't mourn as the world does because we believe in what's to come. But yet, if you'd have looked at my wife and say, just get over it and have faith, you might have got punched in the nose. Rightfully so. You see what I'm getting at? That we experience things in life that sometimes break our heart, and then we must process with the work of the Holy Spirit, because his desire is not to leave you in your brokenness. He has come to bind up the brokenhearted and deal with those who have found themselves crushed in spirit. It is the work of God. And I believe. See, that second slide, if you would, Noel. Here's what I want you to grab today. In Jesus, there is always hope, and in Jesus, there is always a future in front of you. Please take that in your heart. Again, some people with a broken heart, they don't know if they can truly be healed, or they feel their future has been taken from them. They're not sure how they can go forward, but it is in Jesus that you can. And by the way, church, quit trying to rush people through it. If there's one thing I have learned in pastoring people, is you can't rush people through the healing in their life. Stop pushing people just to get on with it. Stop. You're doing more damage than you're helping. It is the timeline of the Holy Spirit, not any man. I've learned to be patient with people. Instead of getting frustrated, or why are we talking about this again? Why are we going over this again? Why do we have to deal with this again? You see what I'm getting at? But if you will draw near, because God is near to the brokenhearted, then there is hope, and then there is a future that he himself will lead you in with the help of the Holy Spirit. This is what he does. See, God sees your brokenness. He desires that you not stay there. He speaks hope. And part of this whole process of healing is new perspectives on the life that you live in him. See, time does not heal your brokenness, but God in time will. It's not that you just kind of wait it out, it'll get better. But in time, the work of God in your life will bring healing to your life. But know this, understand this, and this is important for you to hear. Remember when Jesus was raised from the dead? He was in his new body, his eternal body, right? Did they not still see the nail scars in his hands? Wasn't Thomas still able to reach in and touch the side where he was speared and broken open? You see, healing does not mean the removal of all the scars. There will be evidences of what you have gone through probably the rest of your life in some way. For those of you who lost a loved one, yes, you mourn, and your heart may have been broken, especially in a time of tragedy and these things. The person is still dead. Healing of your heart doesn't change that. You still carry that with you, and it can't be replaced. We were talking about Job last week. Remember we said this? My grace is sufficient for you. Job lost all his children. He had more, but those more children don't replace the ones he lost. He carried that in his life. But the healing of your life will bring a new perspective on what it means to be in him and allow him to take you where he wants you to go. Yes, things, the past doesn't change. But there's a future that's laid out in front of you if you'll draw near to the one that is near you in your brokenness. And where you think you can't go on, all of a sudden, you start to find that you can. All of a sudden, you'll start to discover in this healing process that his grace truly is sufficient for you. And truly his power is made perfect in your time of weakness. You see that? And he starts to walk you into a future that you may not be able to see in your moments. I understand, look. We want things instantaneously. We live in a microwave generation. You're sitting in your fast food drive-through McDonald's and you sit there for 5 minutes, you're getting antsy and maybe getting mad. You wanted your nasty burger 2 minutes ago. My wife, you know what she hates? For years, I just had a charcoal grill, old wood smoker grill. She hated that it took 15 or 20 minutes for that chimney to burn up for to be ready to start cooking. Then she hated it took another however long to make it. Once she's just like, can we just buy a gas grill and get it done like yesterday? So she finally made me buy one not long ago. Well, my son and daughter got me one. But I got a dual. It's not just a get. I got both now. But she wanted it now. She didn't want to wait. It's better that way. But she didn't want to wait. We want things now. And we struggle with processes that really need to happen often in places of healing. But God... You ever notice if you read the scriptures, you see glimpses of chapters that generally span years of life of these people. You know that? You see the story of Abraham, which we've been talking about on Wednesday nights. You see in a few chapters what was years in his life. We want the condensed version of the chapters in our Bible when we're missing that it is sometimes periods of time in how God works and how he speaks and how he leads, and we get frustrated by it. You can't shortcut the work of God and the healing of God in your life. You can't rush through the kingdom of God. If you do, you'll miss it. When the Bible talks about patience, listen to me. I want everybody to hear me. When the Bible talks about patience, the fruit of the Spirit, one of them is patience. Patience isn't necessarily having patience with somebody because they agitate you. Patience is the patience to work out the working of the kingdom of God in my life as I go. I'm patient. Because how God is doing it is in his wisdom. Do you know how many times that I really wanted to hurry God up in my life. And if I would have, I would entirely miss what he was doing. The patience to literally be led and to hear and to be built up. David was anointed king. I want to be king. Nope. Years and years and years. Joseph was sent to Egypt to save everybody from famine, but it was years and years and years till he got there. We don't like years and years and years. We like right now. Jesus himself didn't even start his ministry till he was 30 years old. There's no rushing. The patience of God working in your life is very important. But here's what I know as he's leading you into your future and binding up your brokenhearted is that joy will still be able to shine through because you understand that God is at work. You see? Then what God also does, and this is what I really love about people, is that the future that's in front of you that God is leading you into, he will take the brokenness that you have experienced, and if you allow him to, that becomes a source of life for other people who find themselves in those similar situations of brokenness. See, it's in those things where God will start to reap where he did not sow. For where your heart is broken in this area, let me tell you something. You're not the only one that's had a broken heart because of that. There's so many. If you allow him to turn you around into things that God will use that as a place of healing and hope for other people, because you can say, listen, I kind of get it. I've been right where you're at, but just in this sort of way. And yes, God has brought me so far, and that's a testimony to you that God will take you so far too, if you'll let him. You see? God takes what has happened to us, and he turns it outwards to other people. That is the wonder of God. So God will use you. And when you start to catch these glimpses of the fact that, yes, God is near, and I'm drawing near, and yes, this is not happening overnight, but he is healing my life, and I am moving forward, and there is a future in front of me. Yes, that joy will shine through, and yes, you will have the ability to praise him in the middle of your circumstance. Amen. I'll be really honest with you. I stand here today before you, and my heart is not broken. My spirit is not crushed. I'm in a pretty good spot with things that are happening in my life, okay? But yet, my world's not perfect. Do you realize that every time we praise him, whether your heart feels broken or it doesn't, we still are in a time of now and not yet. All things have not been fully made final. In the midst of this broken and lost world, we find reason to praise him while we await his coming. So in the middle of your brokenness, when you know he's working for your good, when you know he's working beyond your understanding, when you know that, you're going to praise him. And you're not going to stay exactly where you are today, but you will be moving into your future. One more scripture. John chapter 14 and verse 27. So if you have a Bible, turn there. John chapter 14. Gospel of John. In verse 27, Jesus here is promising the coming of the Holy Spirit, which is good for us because of the nearness that God is in us because of his presence in our world. John chapter 14, verse 27. Watch what he says. This is before he ascends and the Holy Spirit is sent. Peace I leave with you. My peace, the peace of Jesus, I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. So, let not your what? Your hearts be troubled. Neither let them be afraid. Is it that the peace of Almighty God, the peace of Jesus, comes in the working of the Holy Spirit in our life? That the troubledness of our hearts will be enveloped by who he is. And life change in front of us. I think we need to allow his peace and his working to come in and do what he desires to do. Do you believe? There's always hope. There's always a future. And God will take you there. Amen? Let's stand up this morning. Question, how many of you, this message this morning spoke to you a little bit? Anybody? Okay. I'm amazed by a God who draws near. Listen, I was a sinner and God chased after me. If you think about that, he wanted me. And he's been near me the whole time, never left. And when I feel the most down and the most hurt and the most off kilter, when I feel out of rhythm in my life, he's near. Can we learn to start to rest in him? Lean into him. Grab hold of his garment, not let go. Can we do that? Lord, you see the state of our hearts. You know. There's no putting on a face with you. Lord, I would bet there's quite a bit of hurt in this room. There's some scars in this place. Life hasn't been easy. Sometimes it hasn't been fair. But Lord, heal us. Heal our hearts. Restore the vibrance of our spirit. Touch our minds. I pray freedom for those who find themselves stuck in cycles of life because of things that have happened. In the name of Jesus. That because of you, regardless, there is a reason to have joy. There's a reason to lift up our eyes and praise you. Because you're not leaving us where we are. But you're taking us where we need to go. Holy Spirit, I just pray that you're doing something this morning. For those that have felt stuck in a place and they don't feel like they can get out of it, that you are invigorating their heart, but also doing a work right now. Grab hold of your neighbor. I want you to pray over him. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. We pray everybody in this room is in the process of healing. For some, it's the end of the journey. They're total freedom. For some, they're just beginning. I pray in the name of Jesus that hearts are being touched and bound up in you. In Jesus' name. That the healing that only you can give, Lord, yes, it's happening. I pray there's new hope in this room today for a future. In Jesus' name. Eyes to see it in front of us. Yes, Lord. I pray, Lord, where the enemy has tried to use these situations, we come against him in the name of Jesus. He has to flee. We stand firm. We will not be moved. I thank you, Lord, that you're not only going to heal our hearts, but protect it too. Oh, Jesus. Is there anybody here today that you need? I know we talked about this at our time of partaking communion, but maybe it didn't happen in a moment, but you're here and you have sins that you need to be forgiven of. Your heart is far from God. Is that anybody? Raise your hand up real quick. I'll close right after this, I promise. Is there anybody in the house? I always want to ask, just to be sure. I don't see any hands. Anybody? Okay. So today, I pray that the Lord would bless you. The Lord would keep you. The Lord would make his face shine upon you. Give you peace. Amen? Amen. If you have things you'd like to further pray about today or talk about, please come down, and we'd love to spend a moment with you before you head out. If you're headed for next steps, we're gonna meet upstairs in that room upstairs, so you can go up there in just a moment. But be blessed as you go today. Have a wonderful, wonderful week. Come back Wednesday. We're still talking about faith. Invite a friend out next Sunday morning.